So friends, before we go forward and I forget, we like to keep you on your toes here at North Prospect Union. So you know, I put in the bulletin that the hymn after the sermon, Take My Life and Let It Be, I wrote 332. It's actually number 404. Number 404. So if I forget to tell you again, I apologize. As we'll talk about in the sermon today, we strive for perfection, but God's kingdom remains far off from us, does it not? Does it not? So our scripture reading this morning, as we continue on in reading Matthew 6. Last week we read just 6, 9. Today we're going to read verses 6, 9 through 10. And this is Jesus speaking. Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Here ends our reading. May we be blessed with understanding. Would you please pray with me? Eye-opening, spirit-rousing God, as we meditate upon these trusted words of Scripture, we pray that they might be for us not just so many signs and symbols on a dusty page of an old book, but new and flowing channels of grace into our hearts. This we ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. In this second verse of the Lord's Prayer, we find two prayers that don't sound at all prayer-like, do they? Your kingdom come, your will be done. They sound more like declarations than Jesus actually asking God for something. It turns out, though, that this is simply a matter of translation and that many versions of the Bible, including our Pew Bibles, which is the NRSV, they pay homage to the King James translation of this. That's the version that we say week after week here in worship. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There are modern translations, though, that are less deferential towards the King James, and they translate these verses into a little bit more straightforward English. The New Living Translation, for instance, makes these two verses sound a whole lot more prayer-like. They say, May your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the NLT translates it like this to emphasize that the underlying Greek sentences are indeed prayers. Jesus is indeed asking something of God. So let's dive into it. What is Jesus asking of God in today's prayers? He has two very closely related requests of God today, the first of which is that God's kingdom might come. Now, in the Jewish thought of Jesus' day, it was believed that while God was the rightful king of creation, and God was the rightful king of the universe and all that is, it was believed that rulership of the world had been taken over by anti-God forces. Jesus' prayer, then, is that God would come back, reclaim his kingdom, and push out those unloving, unjust, anti-God forces. It needs to be said, though, that this kingdom of which Jesus speaks and of which Matthew writes, it's not a kingdom of the heart and mind, as many like to think. When Jesus and Matthew both speak of the kingdom, they are talking about an actual, physical kingdom full of real people acting with real love and with real justice toward one another. And I have to say, after a week like the one that we just had, if you've been following the news, such a kingdom is awful hard to imagine. And when it comes to trying to imagine what an actual kingdom of God would look like, Jesus doesn't throw us any bones at all. His descriptions of the kingdom of God throughout the New Testament are usually more mystifying than they are useful. At various points, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like, and this is an interesting list, he says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who sows seeds, some of which land on rocky soil, some of which land amid thorns, and some of which land on good soil. The kingdom of God is likewise a man who sowed good seed on the ground, but an enemy came and mixed in bad seed in the cover of night. The kingdom of God is like a tiny mustard seed that grows into the greatest of shrubs. It's also a treasure hidden in a field. It's also a net full of fish. It's also a landowner who pays all his laborers the same, no matter what amount of work they do. And perhaps most perplexing of all, the kingdom of God is like a king preparing for a wedding feast to which none of the invited guests actually show up. So he has his servants round up strangers instead. But when one of the strangers isn't wearing a proper wedding robe, he has that person tied up and cast out into the darkness where there is gnashing of teeth. So if that list leaves you more puzzled than it does explain to you what the kingdom of God is like, you are in good company, and you are at very least in my company. Because neither Jesus nor Matthew throughout the course of the New Testament offer us a definitive statement of what the kingdom of God is like. And to make matters all the more confusing, you may recall that elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus says things like, the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God has arrived among you already. The kingdom of God is upon you. There's this ongoing tension throughout Jesus' teachings. In some place, like today's prayer, it sounds as if the kingdom is a long ways off. And there are other places where it sounds like the kingdom has already arrived. Which is it, Jesus? Make up your mind already. Throw us a bone. So this is where it may be useful to actually just read on to the second sentence of today's reading. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, scholars suggest that this second prayer can be understood as an elaboration of the first prayer that we read today. Your kingdom come, your will be done. At a most basic level, God's kingdom is a place where God's will is done. It's a place where God's love and justice and mercy win out against all other forces. It would win out against the Donald's bigotry. It would win out against Hillary's emails. In God's kingdom, neither of those two would stand a chance, I don't think. But we're not yet in God's kingdom. And yet Jesus still makes this profound claim. He says that wherever God's will is being done in the world, the kingdom has already come, although not in its fullness. We can see hints and flecks and specks of the kingdom as we look around us, but it's certainly not the only thing we see. And watching the news, it's certainly not the most dominant thing that we see around us. The kingdom of God is already here, but not quite. So this already not yet quality of the kingdom is a little heady, it's a little weird, a little trippy. So today I would like to offer you a parable of my own devising about what the kingdom of God is like in our own day and time. So bear with me with this. You can tell me during coffee hour whether you think this parable is worth its weight. So the kingdom of God is like this. Imagine that you are on a long international flight, Boston to Thailand. It's a minimum 19-hour, 55-minute flight if the winds are in your favor. You board the plane only to find that you are stuck in a middle seat, wedged between a super chatty person on one side who wants to tell you about their recently failed romance. And then on the other side of you, you have a parent and their extremely cute but extremely colicky baby. Imagine now that you are 12 hours into this flight. You're well into it, but still a long ways, you still have a long ways to go. Your throat and your sinuses are starting to get dried out from the conditioned air circulating through the cabin's vents. Your back is getting sore, so you recline your seat, but the 4 degrees or so that it actually tilts back does nothing to give you any relief. You've spent the past 5 hours counseling your chatty seatmate through their recent breakup, assuring them over and over of their self-worth. And happy to finally have some time to yourself, you put in your headphones to watch that little TV built into the seat back in front of you, only to find that your headphone jack isn't working. You've had to go to the bathroom for at least an hour, but that colicky little baby is finally asleep, so you're afraid to even blink, much less try to sneak past without waking up the little guffer. And then mercifully, the lights flick on, and the flight attendants start working their way down the aisle with a meal for you. Authentic, they say, authentic Thai curry and sticky rice. The kingdom of God in our day and time is like that Thai curry. That curry, imperfect though it is, processed, lukewarm, oddly colored, that curry gives you a foretaste of what lies ahead of you at the end of your flight. However, the thought that you could extrapolate all the richness and splendor that the nation of Thailand has to offer from that little bowl of lukewarm curry that you are hunched over, eating with a little plastic spoon, the thought that you could extrapolate the kingdom of God or what real Thai food is like from that bowl of curry is preposterous. It's unimaginable. That is not to say, though, that this little nasty bowl of curry is without worth. It does offer sustenance. It does offer comfort. It does provide a merciful moment of reprieve from the tedium of the flight. And it does pique your senses. It gets you imagining how much better the food will be when you finally reach your destination. It gets you hungry for the real deal. And in the same way, the kingdom of God in our time is an imperfect thing. God's will is lived out imperfectly by imperfect people. I'm talking about us here, not the people outside the walls of the church. We look around our neighborhoods and there's fear and anxiety between neighbors. Black mothers and wives fear that their sons and husbands won't make it home at night. The families of police officers join them in this fear because they too fear that their own beloveds won't make it through the day. Our economy is on the fritz. Our politicians hunker down into ideological camps while our roads fill up with potholes and while our bridges crumble. And yet, even in this mess, and it truly is a mess, we get little tastes of the kingdom. We see people meeting dehumanizing violence with peaceful protest. We see neighbors reaching out to one another across deep divides, not caring about what others think about them. This past month, we saw churches of all different stripes putting signs in their front yards to wish their Muslim neighbors special blessings during the month of Ramadan. We see social workers and teachers, barbers and grocery store workers, carpenters and waitresses doing good by all who cross their path. And whenever we see others living God's love, God's justice, and God's merciful will, in the world, and whenever we live it ourselves, we get a taste of that kingdom. If only momentarily, if only imperfectly. But it sustains us, it keeps us going, and it makes us hungry for the real deal. We haven't quite reached Thailand yet, so this airline curry will have to do for now. But friends, it's not all that bad. And so we continue to pray with Jesus, Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.